What you will have to do while being in the waiting room, you have to cultivate one important strength, and that is trust. Trust, or we could say faith, is something, and I'm speaking of trust now in a total different way than it is used in the religious context. Trust or faith empties you out of your old ways of thinking. Trust or faith creates an vacant room, a free space within you, where you are actually emptied out of the old ways in which you're used to do things. See, anxiety is a response to an old way of doing things. Oh, and this doesn't work any longer. Oh, now I'm really anxious about the future. I really don't know what will come out of this. This is one way to respond to it. But if you work a little bit on your faith, you will say that life will flow on. I am doing something which is good. I'm trying to help people grow. And by the laws of nature, I enter, when I do this, into a universal maintenance system that will give me back what I put in. And since I'm working to do the good thing, I will have a very good life. You need to work on your faith. Then you can let go of the old ways. Then you can see them disappear over the horizon without being anxious. Oh no, I'm losing this thing. I'm losing that thing. This certainty will go. And you will all of a sudden see how the space which is now emptied, you know, where you don't try to hold or hold on to something old or bring back something old, where you just relax into the situation, it will fill out. I was talking yesterday with Hari Prasad. He said that all of a sudden, from almost nowhere, this program, Remembering Who We Are, came up and filled the empty space so that you can have now a regular program like this. There are many programs like this, Rasanath, which are just waiting to land in the empty space. But if the space is filled by you with anxiety or lamentation about, you know, what has disappeared, what is no longer possible, then you have filled this space, which is meant to be a landing place for the new, by holding on to the old through the means of anxiety. You are not allowing the airplanes which are hovering over the ground to land, and so on. Faith is the greatest strength, or trust, you can say, because so much can happen. Look at the child. Child doesn't know anything, but it has trust in his parents. Look at your little daughter. It doesn't know. When you say, "Let's," what is the good name of your daughter again?
Nilatri?
Nilatri. You say Nilatri. We are going somewhere. Nilatri doesn't ask you many complicated questions. Where are we going, Tata? It's just, okay, father wants to go somewhere. It must be good. and it is coming along. In this way, because it is free, it has a landing space for the new, the child can be shaped, or the child develops. I know your child will develop in wonderful ways. Trust is much more than just trusting or having faith in a religious narrative which comes to us in a certain culture. Trust or faith that everything will move just the way it should and new things can come is making space and so on. And so if you are of anxiety, which, by the way, Rasanath, I speak now very strong words. That's why I get my prasadam. I speak strong words. But I do know when anxieties overwhelm me, how much it stultifies me. And I also know whenever I let go of the anxieties and just have faith that everything in the universe unfolds as it should, and I just need to be open, then I am ready for all kinds of opportunities. I see them, I seize them, I utilize them, and I have the perspective how they can ultimately be the best thing which has ever happened in my life. It is really, I can imagine that in a doctor's waiting room, you are in anxiety. My God, what if this doctor is overly tired and he needs to take his surgeon's knife and he needs to remove something in my hand, and what if he now cuts a little bit wrongly, then I will suffer like a dog for the rest of my life. I can imagine this type of anxiety is there, but you are sitting in a perfect waiting room. you are sitting in the perfect room of the perfect doctor. By the way, Corona or COVID may be the one thing that saves our human race from extinction. Do you know? According to some relevant scientists, if the human being would have gone on like it goes on at the present moment, 70 more years it has chance to survive. Then it is wiped off the planet. Now, due to COVID, there is industries are scaling down, many things scale down, and the air becomes free to breathe. So I think there is always, have a little trust that this is perfect, and don't worry, your job, Rasanath, will be in high demand. You're giving, let us say, help for people to grow will be more and more in demand. I have no doubt, because you are wonderful and your team is wonderful. I don't yet know Michael personally, but just the fact that he made it into your team shows that he must be an excellent person.
We're so blessed to have him, and I look forward to the opportunity for you to connect more. I think we should transition to remembering who we are. It's now 12 o'clock Eastern time. Thank you so much for your blessings and all that you shared with us.
I will just get my notes out. Please do everything which is necessary.
Okay, I'll start admitting everyone, yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Gibst du mir bitte meine
Brille?
Die ist da drin. Wow, full of the most amazing people. Yeah.
So we will record this special event of remembering who we are with our wonderful guest speaker. And before I introduce Satchinandan Swami, just a word about the purpose of this program. So we started this, as we share each week, to be very in touch, to remember the purpose of why we're here also. We started this as a response to the COVID-19 outbreak and seeing how much struggle and difficulty the world is undergoing, and feeling a calling to be of service however best we are positioned to serve. And we felt that there could be nothing more beneficial and more needed than being who we actually are and remembering who we are, living as the soul, not as the ego, not as the mind, not as the body, which we are so quick to identify with and which we are so encompassingly identified or consumed by, but to really remember that we are the soul. And so this is an opportunity for us to get together in a sangha, in a gathering of like-minded persons who want to take that to heart, to live as we are, being in touch with that constantly. So in that vein, we ask for a particular culture, which is a full-hearted participation. That means that if you are listening, please listen with your full heart, your undivided attention, not multitasking. We love if you can keep your video on the entire time for, you know, if it's possible, it goes a long way for you and for all of us to be together at our fullest. And we ask for respect, that we treat each other as souls and we receive each other in that way, and it's a very safe space. And we ask for determination, that we're not here for today an hour now, usually 45 minutes, but as a special program, we're here for an hour. We don't ask that you come here for an hour to get some charge up, but to actually really engage in a way that you will take this into your lives. We all are endeavoring to bring the wisdom of who we are and the teachings of realized persons into our lives, to live this way as constantly or consistently as we possibly can. So with that, I will then usher in our dear speaker, Satchinandan Swami. So he is my guru. He's the person that I am here as a result of, who has taught everything, and a very dear teacher to Rasanath, and a very important, one of really the most important guides for Upbuild, who has been with us from the beginning. And as an organization, we would not be here without his blessings, his teachings, his guidance. He's been there every step of the way. We're incredibly grateful that he gives his time. We've been dying to introduce him to you. He's somebody who is very accomplished in meditation and in study of the wisdom traditions of the world, and particularly the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and the culture, the Vedic culture, which has incredible jewels, riches to bestow upon us. And he has traveled all over the world. Now he's situated in Germany. He's with us from Germany, his home, and speaks on the subject that I think is very fitting for us today of remembering who we are. So with that, we warmly welcome, with great honor and appreciation, Satchinandan Swami. And thank you so much for being with us as well.
Thank you, first of all, for having me. I'm very delighted. I remember I had the chance to address some of you in New York when I stayed there in the center of the town, and made contact already with the type of people who feel inspired to grow with a build, and was very, very impressed. And therefore, I welcome this opportunity very, very much. There's a program going on in my host's house, to which I will be going, but I told them, you have to do the first part of the program without me, because I'm value this call very much. Let me immediately go into the subject matter, remembering who we are, and see if I can say something to you which is not only uplifting you for a short time, but something which you can take out of this call into your life. I plan to speak for about half an hour, and then we will go into a question and answer session. I will try to put a meditation or guide you in a meditation, since that has become my habit, so to say, when I give public announcements or public lectures. Good. I will just tune myself in, because I want to speak something of value by offering my respectful obeisances to my own teacher. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. When I first heard that I was requested to speak on the subject, become who, or remembering who you are, who we are. See, Nietzsche, the German philosopher, said, become who you are. So I still have this sentence in my mind. So remembering who we are. When I thought about it, I remembered the sculptor Rodin. When I had visited New York in the past, I had a very good friend who worked at the Metropolitan Museum, and who would give Hari Prasad and myself guided tours. And once we came into the section where these amazing works of the French sculptor Rodin were on display. He had cut out of black marble these amazing statues or sculptures, which did much more than showing only a moment in the life of the people or the objects which were portrayed. Rodin is known for capturing a story and bring that to his masterpieces. So that when you stand before them, they seem to tell their life story to you. This is just a rare talent, I guess. A good sculptor, when he looks at the marble block or the hardwood which he will work on, will see much more. He will see what he wants to bring out of the wood, and he will even see or feel the story which his work will tell to the people who will be looking and gazing at it in the time to come. My spiritual master said that this ability to bring something very concrete out of that which is still so vague, so let us say unrevealing as a block of marble, that this ability to bring something out of our life which is like a block of marble, that is a spiritual art. He said once, I've written this down for you, this life of material existence is just like a block of hard wood. And if we can carve out the self from it, that is the success of our life. I would like to repeat it again, because it's quite profound. This life of material existence is just like a block of hardwood, and if we can carve out the self of it, that is the success of our life. I think in some ways all of us are sculptors in life. Here's our life, a big unknown. The future is a big unknown to us. But somehow we start chiseling away things which are there, and deciding for other things which we would like to keep in our life, and all of a sudden, wow, there it is, our life. There's a house around us, there is a family around us, there's a partner next to our side, there's a life which we have carved out or out of the existence that surrounds us. But if that carving, that work can bring us in contact to who we really are, and then it will help us from wasting our time with things that are ultimately not satisfying to the self, that are ultimately seen as only distractions from the actual work in our life, to understand who we are, and to understand who we are in relationship to everything, including God. I want to say to you that I was born into a family which was trying to make good. It was a family which had guilt. My father has been a murderer of thousands, maybe hundred thousands of people. He was working in the Nazi regime under Hitler. And after he had his reawakening, my God, I was part to tremendous crimes. He wanted to do something good, so he put all his energy, all his drive into building up the German rail system, because he thought Germany will come up only when the economy works again, and that will be dependent on the transportation of goods. And then he thought, why should I limit my work to Germany? He helped in other countries. He was soon asked to be the advisor in France and Italy and everywhere. And then even the Chinese government recently means 10 years ago, 10 years, 15 years ago, called him over because he has gathered a lot of experience. So he wanted, I was born in this family, and he wanted me, as his beloved son, to become a bridge builder, to become a tunnel designer, and to develop a fair means of transportation of people and goods, and etc. And I didn't do that. I became a monk. And the reason why I did not do that is that I had become tired of trying to become someone whom I'm not. I tried to become a guitar player as a young man. I remember I drove my guitar teacher crazy because I said I want to play like your own countryman Jimi Hendrix. And well, he said then you need to have a lot of practice before you can get into this type of improvisation. I had tried to become a filmmaker. That's why I bonded very much with Hari Prasad. I had tried many things, but I could see that they were only layers. One year back, I looked back at this time of where I felt the call for spiritual awakening to know who I am. I wrote a poem in which I can best express what I was thinking at that, what I started to think at that time, and what I think at this time, of not becoming one of these, covering myself with various layers of the false ego. The poem is called "Who Are You?" I will make a little music here. I want to ask the technician, is this all right, this music, or does it distort the sound which you hear? Hari Prasad, is it good? Can you hear it?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good? Everyone, can you please give me... Is it all right? It's good, thank you. Because on some calls it disturbs. Who are you? This is to be listened to in a meditative way. Are you your name? Are you your virtues or your sins? Your deeds and achievements? Will any of these live your life for you? Are you your hands or your legs? Your brain or your heart? Your innermost thoughts, your secret moods? Are you your body? Or maybe your mind? Or are you inside of them? Look back into your life. See yourself as a child surrounded by several toys. A teenager now with many questions. A young adult with an education and an apartment. Now look into the future. See yourself growing old, with a tired body of an old man and an old woman. All your many roles in life have changed. But throughout all these changes, you were always there. Who is that you? From childhood to youth to old age, your body has changed many times, but you have always been there throughout the changes. Who is that you? I request you now to meditate with me so that you can find out a more intuitive answer, a more real answer, a more enlivening and empowering answer maybe than you have found out to the question which you heard many times. I will ask you in the meditation the same question, but I will ask it in a completely new way. And maybe it will do something to you. So sit comfortably. Best is in an upright position. You may want to roll your shoulders back. And you may want to expand your chest by just, you know, I will do it for you. See, my shoulders go to my ears and then I roll them back as if I want to bring my shoulder blades together. That will do a lot in your neuro wiring. Now take a few relaxing breaths. Deep relaxing breaths. you have not yet done so, please close your eyes. When you are ready, relax even further. Imagine you put your entire body to repose, as if you would hang a shirt on a hanger. And as you continue to breathe deeply, feel how every part of your body slowly relaxes more and more. Deep breath. Now let everything that surrounds the old you gently disappear. Your job gone. Your plans gone. Your many relationships. For a moment, gone. Anything that occupies your mind, gone. It is just you and your breath. Just you and your breath. Simply observe your breath as it flows in and out, in. Completely by yourself, absolutely safe, free from the many layers that cover who you truly are. Ask yourself, who am I when everything that is not me is taken away? Who am I when everything that is not me is taken away? Who am I in my essence? Let whatever wants to arise, arise. Stay in this space and gently try to become aware of your natural self. Your true self was always there. It will always be there. And it is
always there. Ready to be uncovered. Let us remain for a moment in this space, here and now, connected to the self. You can now gently end your meditation. It does help to just rub the hands a little. This gives like a physical sensation which goes all throughout the body. Cover your two eyes as if empalming. And then bring the hands away from your eyes. Look into the palms as if you see them for the very first time. Thank you very much for participating in this. I looked from time to time with one eye and I saw many of you were really absorbed. Thank you so very much. You can see in my approach here in this call to the question, remembering who we are, I do not think it is wise to add a technique to come to a better version of ourselves, to transform, to construct something new. No. My approach here is something which I feel will help you, especially you busy New Yorkers, more. That is just removing things and just let that which is already there shine forth a little bit. When I meditate, I don't create something, but I let that which is already there, the natural goodness, the natural spirituality, shine forth a little bit more. This type of meditation is something like which we could call the removal of the layers, which always brings the discovery of that spiritual essence which is already there. The only question which I would like to address at the very end, and I look at the time and know I have to be a little bit time conscious, the only question is how to stay in this space. And for this, now I would like to offer you something so simple yet so sublime that it will help you. It is called the emotional traffic light. Those who know me are not surprised that I bring this tool to you here in this call. An emotion, see, we, all of you who are interested in upbuild, are already spiritually minded people. You have heard the wisdom teachings of the Bhagavad Gita to some extent. I know that there are amazing classes presented by Rasanath and Hari Prasad about the Gita and the wisdom teachings that we are more than our egos, that in fact beneath our egos lies a whole wonderful world to discover. All this is known to you. You are spiritual people, but you are sometimes distracted spiritual people. And you come out of the space in which you like to be, the space which you know is best for you to be in, a space which you inhabit after such meditations as this one. And for this I want to just suggest to you something called, which I called, the emotional traffic light. When something happens to you which could distract you or mildly upset you or make you lose your balance, switch on red. Red means stop. Many of you must be driving cars, although the subway in New York is also very developed, I have personally experienced. And you know, when you drive in traffic, there's a red, and it means stop. The next is the yellow phase. After you have stopped and not reacted, you can go into the yellow phase. And you can ask yourself, what would be a more appropriate response now? What would be a very good response, in fact, to this situation or to the people I'm now engaged with in conversation? And you put whatever insights you have gained in the yellow phase, in the waiting and contemplating phase, into your action, which is called the green phase. My dear listeners, it doesn't need a Satchinandan Swami to tell you that if we could just manage the space which lies between a perception that comes to us and our response a little bit wiser, oh, we would be in a very good space by now. So the emotional traffic light, a simple monk tool can help you. Just stop when something comes. Use the wisdom teachings which you have realized, which are already close to your heart and dear to your heart, and then recall them and then put them into action. I'm sitting before you as a happy old man now, and 1 year I'm practicing, it's my 50th year of being a monk. 50 years I'm doing this more than many of you are very young and young people, and I can tell you, I'm I'm somehow very content in my life. Not happy is temporary, contentment stays with someone, because I do remember I'm an eternal being. I have inner knowing, I have inner satisfaction. I do not need to make myself dependent on outer circumstances. Everything is already there. I just need to be connected with it and not become disconnected from it when there are these wild circumstances or unpredictable circumstances. I thank you very, very much for your kind attention. I could talk unlimitedly long, but I want to see if there are any questions at this time which you would like to pose. Who will manage it and how will it be managed, Hari Prasad? I see you are already enthusiastic. Is he empowered by you, Rasanath?
He empowers me.
So if you have a question, you can push the raise your hand button so we can be sure to see it. And if you prefer to write it in the chat or write to me personally, that is all right, and I can ask on your behalf. But otherwise, you can push the raise hand button. If nobody has any question at the moment,
they are all still meditating. I see one gentleman is raising his hand.
Oh, yeah, Peter. Yeah, please, Peter.
Thank you very much, Swami. That was a beautiful experience. Very powerful, and I'm deeply grateful to be connected to you now. My question is, when you are in that state of contentedness and somebody steps in front of you and interrupts that state of connectedness, how long did it take you to be immediate around the traffic light?
Could you kindly repeat how long did it take you to talk?
Yeah, so how long did it take you to get to the place where immediately the traffic light comes in and you don't react?
Yeah. Thank you very much. Your question is clear. It is a matter of practice. Maybe you will not come to this state of being able to withhold an immediate gut response immediately. Maybe you will, I will now talk in New York English to you, blow it a few times. I have learned from Hari Prasad, proper New York language I have learned. but then you can reflect afterwards, oh, it went wrong. I went again into the old reactionary pattern and I got the old result again. The same situation repeated itself. So then you can say, next time I will do such and such. I will not speak. I will smile and offer the person a glass of fruit juice, and when he doesn't stop, I will smilingly pour it over his head. I'm putting alternative reactions with the one over the head. Maybe that's not very successful communication, but and then when the situation arises again which triggers a certain unwanted response,
you might miss your chance again. And again you go back and say, oh no, I now missed my chance for the second time. But the third time I will be right there and do the a more mature reaction. And then one day you will, it will happen. And when it happens to you, I understand your good name is Peter. Peter, you will feel such a gratification because you will feel finally my higher self has been given a chance to operate here. And it went well. It went into a new, I carved out a new track, a new path, a new thing. My dear listeners, from my house, a path goes through the forest. This path was created by me. I wanted to go right from the door, the garden gate before the house door into the forest to just be for myself, think and not greet not interact with people who come on the street and who greet me and who are happy to have a monk in their neighborhood and want to talk. But sometimes I need to have a little peace. So I made this path. And do you know what? It took me 2 years to make this path by just walking it. Paths, new paths in life happen by walking. I walked always through the forest. I put some sticks here and there on some trees to give myself a sign. This is the way you need to go. And as I went on, I created a new path over the period of 2 years. So to create something new in relationships or in responses to the world may take some work. You may sometimes miss your chance also, but if you reflect about it, one day you will make the first step, the second step, and in this way create the path. As we say in German, Rome was not built overnight. So to create such a personality, Peter, such an ability, may take some time. So my advice to you is never give up, never become discouraged. Believe that you are actually more than just the body and the mind, and that maybe you should also start a spiritual practice which helps you to uncover the layers so that you are more in contact with your spiritual essence, and then it will be more easier. How long did it take me? Well, if I'm very honest with you, I'm a very lively person. I'm a very vital person. So I think when I became aware of it, it took me something like 2 years. And now I really never go out of my calm. I heard this recently with people. You seem to never lose your calm. You were different before. And I said, yes, I'm practicing to be in connection with my spiritual self, and I want to act from that level, because what I do now creates the future life, and I want to do it, I want to have it a good, that it is good for everyone. Yes, thank you for your very nice and relevant question, Peter.
Thank you so much.
So I'm counting, we have about 6 questions and we have 10 minutes, but the good news is for those of you who would like to stay afterwards, we'll have Sachinandan Swami will stay for about 15 minutes, so we can continue questions, whatever
does not get asked, and if there's time for a personal word.
And let me just say, it's good that when we end the session and we ask any do you have any questions? Then you go, oh, wait a minute. I just come from another planet here. Oh, I met myself. Wow, Swamiji, I met myself. Then you don't have immediately. Okay, but let us now go really into a lively question and answer session. And I have to speak as concise as possible. Let me sit up here. I will now adopt the New York ways of talking. Not so long-winded. Yes, please.
So, Erica, you had a question?
I really just wanted to say thank you. I found that, you know, so many of these things are so complicated, and you brought it down to a very simple process. And I think that the imagery, you used a lot of imagery, which was really, really beautiful, and really gave a lot of strategies on very simple strategies of just letting go of the ego and how to do that, how to kind of take the skin off, and so that you can just sit in your true essence, and that you don't have to search for that beauty or a change. It's already there. And being a sculptor myself, my bachelor's degree is in fine arts, and I spent a summer in France sculpting, and that imagery is so beautiful for me, because that's the one form of art that is so exquisite, because the art is already there. You just have to find it. And I've never made that connection that I could do that, in fact, with myself, which blew my mind. And wow, really beautiful. So thank you. So it's really more of a moment of extraordinary gratitude for such a simple strategy that goes such a long way. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Scott? Scott, you're on mute. There we go. What?
Unmute.
There we go. Yep.
Having trouble unmuting, I'm sorry. First, I would like to echo Erica's thanks for your time and for your gift today. Question I have is, was becoming a monk an answer to a question you had about yourself or your life? And if it was, what was the question and where did you carry it? Or how did you carry it?
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Scott, for your very personal, a question which leads to a very personal answer. Becoming a monk for me was really answering a call, an inner calling. But it took some bravery to do it, because I did not really know in the beginning where this monk road, so to say, would take me. I will be very honest with you. I thought, most probably, I won't do this for the rest of my life. I will do it for a period of 1 year. But this calling, that look outside the box for a new life, was just so absolutely strong that I dared to enter this adventure. And I think at that time I had to brave myself. I had to also brace myself for any possible accident, because I really did not know what would come out of this. But I want to again say, new paths in life only appear by walking them, not by thinking them. You have to do something.
because that doing does change, bring about changes. That doing something will create space for the new things to arrive. Thinking won't do that. So I'm very happy that I could respond to the calling and went into an adventurous path, and that I was rewarded on my path with deep insights and experiences that gave me the inner strength to continue even when I needed to swim against the mainstream of society. So, Scott, my answer to you is yes, there was a calling to look for a more satisfying life. I had not yet been able to define what that satisfying life would exactly mean, but I did something which I want to recommend to you on your path, to your path, even if it may not be a monk path. That is not the point here. Be brave, Scott. Be brave. Answer to the call, which you, I'm sure you have heard already. If you don't answer, one day it will become silent, more silent, more silent, and then stop. So that is, I want to encourage you.
Thank you.
Someone is asking if you would mind speaking about the time that we're in currently, which, and any thoughts, wisdom, or reflections about this pandemic, the social challenges, and so on.
I believe it is a time of change. And I want to say something which I said in one of my recent poems. Embrace change. Because even if it turns your life upside down, who knows if the new side which will come up, maybe it might be better than the old side which goes down. I'm sorry, I have written it in German and it was translated in English, but I just now. So when change comes, your life gets turned upside down, but the new side, the side which comes up, might be better. My comment on the situation is, I have a good friend, a professor, who tells me that viruses were always there. There are more bacteria and viruses in the world than human beings. Much more. There are billions, milliards of more. They are there. But when the ecological system, or milieu they call it, is disturbed, then the human organism cannot react so nicely to any viruses any longer, because in that disturbed atmosphere, you know, it can be environmental causes and other causes, this is not possible. So I think the best response is, on an individual level, to create again a balance. Physically, I would say you have to now use the time to see that you do a little bit for your health. Do a little exercise. We are not sitting organisms. We are meant to move. Do a little exercise. Emotionally, very important or let me stay more physically. Physically, try to see that you can create a healthy immune system which can defend the body from all intrusion of illness. Emotionally, try to also come into a good atmosphere, inner atmosphere, emotionally, by focusing yourself on a goal that inspires you. Learn to stop the negative chatter of your mind. Oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you Mr. Couch Potato, you will never do anything in your life. You know that inner critic which eats us up alive. We have to learn to not listen to this any longer. And then enter into good relationships with people who are dear. And socially you can also create balance by trying to do something good, you know. For instance, I try in this time to make myself available on many calls. I try to boost up the little charity which I have started in, so that needy people can be supplied with their basic needs and so on. So COVID-19 means society has come out of balance. It cannot deal with any longer so nicely with the viruses which were always there, because it is weakened by the materialistic and unhealthy lifestyle. And the individual response should be, in my opinion, to come back into the balance. Physically, emotionally, and socially, and that will be very good for you. Yes, I'm aggrieved to see the tremendous amount of anxiety which happens in the world. I can feel there's a lot of anxiety because everything has become so uncertain. For that I do every Tuesday prayers for the world. So what more to say about COVID-19? I have written an article about COVID-19, and if you are interested, Hari Prasad could send it to you. I thought it was a balanced article. Hari Prasad also helped me to see certain aspects which I had not addressed, but which needed to be addressed. So maybe Hari Prasad can go one time more over the article. He's my English editor, and he knows editing very nicely. So, and then he could send you, if you are interested, in my opinion. But in one word, take COVID as a chance to come into balance.
Thank you so much. So we should officially wrap here for those who need to go. We know we're just a few minutes over time. And for those who can stay, there are a few more questions that we can ask. Thank you so much, Satchinandan Swami, for giving so generously your time and your care and your spiritual illumination, which we deeply need. And thanks to everyone for being so receptive and sincere in creating this beautiful spiritual environment, which we also need very much.
It was a genuine pleasure, really. I have seen you. You are there in little windows like bonbons. And I could see you were so attentive and encouraging, and really so very nice. I see also our Parastu is there, and I see Pragya. I think Ken, I have seen you before. Bala Krishna, our own Bala Krishna is there. What to speak of the brilliant Rukmini. You are there in this corner.
It was a Radha Bhakti. I have seen you before. And Michael is there, Rasanad, with a smile from here to Alaska. Very, very nice. Everyone is there. I thank you. Andrea, okay. Beeman. And our it's Alex. Okay. Is that Alex? No, maybe it's a different Alex. Yes. And here, the most important hosts, which I have to speak about, Tzivi and George, with whom I have many, many things still to do. We have to make our walk, Tzivi and George, second part. We made a philosophical walk with Tzivi and George. Thank you, everyone, Sonia, Christy, Weeping Goyal, Scott Plate, very good, Gerlaine, Radha Bhakti, Vijay Anamal, Sumin Wang, wonderful, Gagan,